You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Persecution of Christians is so high that we're almost at genocide levels. That's actually the removal of a people off the face of the earth. It's happening in the European countries. It's happening in the Middle East. It's happening through the world right now. Sri Lanka, we just had the major explosion where, you know, at the Easter celebration where all these churches were together and killed almost 250 people and wounded many, many others. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, just joining me is John Ramos. And these levels of persecution is so major, isn't it, John?
It's a major thing that's happening right now. And we really need, as Christians, be watchful and prayerful about what's occurring, because we're talking about, particularly in the Middle East, mass extermination. In 2003, there was reportedly 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. Today, those numbers are 120,000 believers are left, less. That's about 10% of the Christian population.
And that comes after ISIS and where they were putting the in letter over doors for Nazarene, and they were taking people's property. They were crucifying Christians. They were crucifying Muslims who weren't Muslim enough, and they were building this caliphate in that area. And, you know, thanks to President Trump, understand, when he sent the troops in there and just dealt with it in a few months and ended it, he ended the major genocide of Christians taking place in that particular area, at least at that moment. If he wouldn't have stopped that, and the previous, you think about the previous administration, they were doing everything to fuel that.
That's right.
It was just everything that was going on was like, at what point are you not going to be empathetic towards the death of human beings who happen to be Christians, or I think there were, Mount Sinjar,
unfathomable what was happening when the United States has so much power and leverage and strength that we've helped people for many years. When you have Christians that were being chased up a mountain and their people were fleeing, and they testified in Congress to this, and yet very little was done in the previous administration. I'm grateful for this president, President Trump, and what he's doing now, but this is really concerning. This is what the BBC reports. It says the persecution of Christians in parts of the world is at near genocide levels, according to a report ordered by Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt. The review led by the Bishop of Truro, Philip Munstephen, estimated that 1 in 3 people suffer from religious persecution.
1 in 3.
1 in 3. Think about
1 in 3. That alone should help Christians realize, you know, that we need to pay attention.
Yeah.
That whoever is in leadership can change that situation. It matters who the king is. It matters who your president or prime minister is.
But in particular, this is what this report found out.
Okay.
Christians were the most persecuted religious group. Think about that. And we learned on a previous program where Glenn Beck shared that out of the, 1,800 persecutions that were occurring in Europe, 1,300 of the 1,800 were against Christians.
That's it.
And that was in Europe. So you see this happening in Europe. You see it happening in the Middle East. And this is a physical extermination.
They barely mention it. It's like media silence when it comes time to a Christian or a Jew being persecuted on the earth. But all of a sudden, if one situation happens, you know, about a hijab or something like that, this hits the news, and it's like somebody just lost their life.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was just killed. Somebody was just, you know, blown up in their church because they were just happened to be Christian.
For a belief.
Yeah, for a belief.
In God. Not because they committed a crime.
Right.
Not because they murdered or raped or stole something.
Right.
But because they believed in God. This is getting actually a lot of attention. And we even have the Prince of Wales sharing some heartfelt concern about what is happening to Christians. In fact, take a look.
It is an indescribable tragedy that Christianity is now under such threat in the Middle East, an area where Christians have lived for 2,000 years and across which Islam spread in 700 AD. With people of different faiths living together peaceably for centuries. It seems to me that our future as a free society, both here in Britain and throughout the world, depends on recognizing the crucial role played by people of faith. And of course, religious faith is all the more convincing to those outside the faith, when it is expressed with humility and compassion, giving space to others, whatever their beliefs.
So you're looking at Prince Charles, obviously, yeah. And he's sharing about the persecution, the history of Great Britain. When you think about that, they've seen so many different things, you know, take place. And it's just amazing what's taking place in the world right now. And, you know, part of the last days that would take place is there'd be great persecution against, you know, the Jews and Christians on the face of the earth. And these things happen over times in history. People say, well, this is the last days. Well, it wasn't, because we're still here, which means we could do something about this level of persecution that's taking place. It's about being strong. It's about having a strong defense, being so, your military is so strong that nobody wants to fight against the military, thinks they can take it. And right now, things are shifting in the world. Things we have a fleet in America going to the Middle East as we speak right now because of Iran and what they're threatening, Hamas, what they're threatening about potential attacks on America, American people, their different places, against Christians, against Israel. I mean, the world's kind of in flux is the word I want to say. Yeah, flux right now.
And it's interesting that this is happening in the Middle East and Europe, but even if you go to the West, although the persecution is different, I mean, many of us right now in the United States are not fearing our lives, but there is persecution of Christians on many fronts. You see this in the culture, you see this in the media, and you definitely see it in the workplace. Christians are attacked for believing in Jesus. You can't even say the name Jesus without having some sort of ramification. And so there's a lot of things that are happening even on the West. What makes me think, is it a matter of time before Christians are physically hurt
here in the U.S.? Well, it all progresses, and it doesn't get to the level it's happening across the world without first going, well, I won't bring them up anymore. Well, we just kind of we'll just get all of God out of our laws, and it's a gradual progression. And so America's making those progressions right now. Mm-hmm. You know, America's deciding that, you know, we're not going to bring God up because it'll offend somebody in the schools. We're not going to say one school in Pennsylvania saying we're not going to sing God Bless America because it has God in there and it'll offend someone. So they took that out of school. Others are saying, we don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it says one nation under God. But it's funny, the money says, in God we trust.
That's right.
And they don't have any problem
taking the money.
Yeah. And so it happens because those decisions are being made. And so we can see where a lot of those decisions have been made, especially in the administration prior to President Trump. Now, President Trump, by God's grace, is making huge swaths of changes in regards to laws, in regards to how we're responding. He's not ashamed to be an American. He's not ashamed for Christians to stand up and say who their faith is. He just had National Day of Prayer in the White House and allowed, you know, Christians and Jews to come up and openly pray right there in the Rose Garden. And they talked about Jesus and prayed God's blessing and protection over the president and his family and his team, and came against the spiritual enemy, which is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that would come against our president. Listen, God will bless a nation whose God is the Lord. Yeah. And so you think about this, that we can be in that direction, and we were headed in that direction, and for some reason, even though they were saying some right things, we were going in a very wrong direction. But how you value life, you know, if we all of a sudden take the life of an innocent person who can't speak, a child in the womb, it won't be long before they start taking life that can speak, you know, the elderly or someone that says, you know, for the collective, you know, this is good to be able to let this people group, you know, suffer for the collective. But we don't mind you talking as long as you come over here in these ghettos, what happened to the Jews in Germany. They let them keep talking, but they actually put them in a lockdown, fenced-in area, basically the ghetto. And they went from there once people forgot about them. And they said they took it from there and started transporting them to a place that they would end their life.
So powerful, what you said earlier about how this is a progressive thing that happens.
Yes.
Makes me think of the proverbial frog that didn't jump out of the boiling water.
Yeah.
As the heat got hotter, he got comfortable.
Right.
And maybe we're at this point here in America right now. We're so close.
And you have to pay. So that means you have to pay attention when you're comfortable. You have to pay attention now. And you do that by staying in the Word, staying close, hearing what's going on, seeing what's taking place, and realizing if it's happening to anybody else anywhere in the world, an injustice anywhere to one person is an injustice to everyone, as Dr. King would say. So we have to pay attention to that. If we don't have compassion on those that are being persecuted now and reach out to defend them, to stand up for them, we'll talk about how you can actually do that prayerfully, but also financially. We're going to have an organization that you'll be able to talk about that's doing that very thing. But listen, comment below. What are your thoughts on this? These are huge numbers, the tragedies that are taking place. What are your thoughts? You know, you start praying, comment, and post your prayers below, and write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. You know, talk specifically about something maybe you've seen, something that you've heard, something that you feel that can be done, and prayers. We want to hear those specific things. The persecution of Christians across the earth is coming the numbers are so high, so many, that they're even talking about. It's even close to the persecution reaching genocidal type levels when you think about it, right? Let's take a look right now. This is Molly Lyne as she's talking specifically about it.
A new interim report released at the request of the British Foreign Secretary says Christian persecution in some parts of the world is, quote, close to meeting the international definition of genocide, with Christians being targeted by extremist groups in the Middle East, Sub-Saharan Africa, and East Asia. For more on this, we bring in the president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council and senior fellow of the Philos Project, Juliana Tamarazzi. Juliana, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me on, Molly.
It's really startling to see that sort of figure, that takeaway from the report, that it could potentially be reaching genocidal levels. Also worth noting from this report, 80% of religious believers who are being persecuted around the world are Christians. Should this be a wake-up, a worldwide wake-up?
Absolutely. There has been a genocide that is already underway. And perpetrated by ISIS. As you know, Secretary Kerry announced this as a genocide of the Christians of Iraq and also the Yazidis. But this has been going on for so long. For example, in terms of Iraq, the Assyrians, also the Chaldeans and the Syriacs of Iraq have come under persecution starting 2003 until today. Our numbers were 1.5 million today, down to 200,000 people. And look at Sri Lanka. Look at what happened there. Look at what's happening in India. Nobody's really talking about India. So we're grateful for Secretary Hunt and also Ambassador at Large Brownback for really stepping up to do something in a positive way, in a more meaningful way. But there's so much that needs to get done still worldwide. According to Open Doors report, 1 out of 9 Christians, Molly, across the world are being persecuted today.
It's just a tragedy is taking place. You think about the Middle East. The Middle East is the land of the Bible. I mean, when you talk about the churches that he speaks about in Book of Revelation, those are located in Turkey. When you look at the Garden of Eden, you're looking at southern Iraq. You know, these different areas and regions. So when you read your Bible, it's the land of the Bible. When you think about it, and of all the things, the most oldest Christians lineage in the world, you know, is in Iraq in these different areas. And so you look for millions now down to 200,000, 120,000. It's just the enemy coming in, trying to remove God off the face of the earth, but it's not going to happen. It's God's earth. It's God's world. But men and kings still conspire against God. I mean, just what he talked about specifically.
Foolishness of men, right?
So when you think about the definition of genocide, because we hear that word thrown around a lot, you know, John, read that definition of genocide.
It's defined as the systematic and widespread extermination or attempted extermination of a national race, religious, or ethnic group.
So basically, it's the extermination of Christians on the face of the earth. And when you see people standing up who are moral loyal to other nations and other kings and faiths that hate America and hate the God that America stands for. We are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One of the founding documents of our country is the Bible. You know, as the ambassador to the Israeli ambassador at the UN recently spoke up and held up the Bible, and he said, "This is our documentation, right?
This is the title
to the land of Israel." And it's the most persecuted book, the most burned book, the most destroyed book, but yet the most read book and the most popular book on the face of the earth. But in that, when you think about it, look again at this map of the destruction that's taken place or persecution of Christians all over the world. You look at Iraq,
Egypt,
Syria, Iraq, China, the Philippines, North Korea. North Korea is not on there, but they're a major persecutor.
Major, number one.
And you know, it's time for us to stand up. Listen, America is the most powerful, largest military, biggest economy, a very large nation. When you think about other nations, you know, Canada, basically the population of Canada could fit into a state inside of the 50 states. Yeah. And you look at, you know, and we love these countries and the people you're watching right now. They compare America to these other countries, and there's only like two or three countries that are bigger than America. It's just a huge, it's not only big, but it has a blessed economy that's doing really well, has a huge military. You know, the budget on the military is like around $900 billion in 1 year. And that's so that we could be strong enough to defend folks in foreign lands and us from tyranny and things taking place.
But we have to speak up.
Yeah.
And do something about it. This is what Martin Niemöller said. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and then there was no one left to speak for me.
And that's so true. How many people are just laying back as this is taking place? And it's like the ultimate goal of the enemy of mankind is to destroy you because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. When he sees you, he sees the face of God. When he sees how God created you, you remind him of God. He knows he's lost. The end, he loses. But the reality is we don't know that. We just sit back while we're allowing men to be, you know, destroyed on the face of the earth for their belief in their faith. I mean, if anybody, this is one man said this. He said, listen, Rabbi Zacharias said this. He said, okay, you're in the middle of a jungle and you're riding down the road and it's dark and all of a sudden your car breaks down and you're trying to get your car working and it's dark and all of a sudden you hear somebody coming out of the woods. You hear, you know, leaves that are crumbling and different noises coming out, and your anxiety gets up. You don't know what's about to happen. This is what Robbie says. Robbie says, now, how would you feel better if the five people coming out of the woods were Christians or not Christians? And the majority of that answer always was if they're Christians. Christians are not going to harm you.
That's right.
Christians understand that they need to, they're called to love you, to forgive you, to pray for their enemies, to bless those who curse them, and pray, and those that are following the scriptures, you know, those that lie on you and misuse you, that we're supposed to be kind to them. If somebody hits you, you're not supposed to hit them back. I mean, you want, you know, they're supposed to pray for those in authority over you. The only reason somebody would want to take a Christian out is because they're the enemies of God, or you have a Christian that's not living by biblical principles, that's actually working the last nerve of a people group that's going on, that's being hateful,
yeah,
instead of moving in love. And so there's the only way to think about it. Why would ISIS come down when they're beheading people, they're crucifying people, they're taking people's property and home? Why in the world would they want to feel like they could kill Christians, they could take their property, because to them, that they were the enemy, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his followers are Satan's direct enemy. That's the only thing that...
Speaking about that, the Washington Examiner is reporting that ISIS will target Christians in an annual Ramadan offensive. And this is what they're predicting. The Islamic State will target Christians as part of the terrorist group's offensive during the up-and-coming Islamic holy month of Ramadan, this new report predicts. ISIS operatives, of course, they were took credit for the Sri Lanka massacre of the 250 Christians and hundreds of others that were sent to the hospital. But this is something that they have done in times past, in particular in 2014. And so this is something that we definitely want to be alerted to, something that we want to pray. But also this is a time for us to awaken ourselves to other organizations and ministries that are actually doing something for the persecuted church. We want to encourage you to go to opendoorsministry.org, as they've been working for many years.
Opendoors.org or opendoorsministry.org?
Opendoors.org.
Okay.
Thank you. Opendoors.org. As they've been working to help the persecuted church for many years, they produce an annual report that shows that the top list of countries that have been persecuting Christians. And North Korea has been, for many years, number one. But many of the countries in the Middle East have enlisted probably near the top 10.
And it's hard to really know exactly what North Korea is doing because they're the hermit kingdom. They're closed up. And so if we know this is what they're doing with the closed community, you can imagine what they're really doing. Mm. I mean, they have. We had a story on it where they put people in. You know, you can't even stand up. It's a little, you're bent over the whole time. You're in this gulag type situation. You're not being fed. You're starving. You're busting big rocks to small rocks. If you profess to be a Christian and follow Jesus, then not only you, but like two or three of your generations, your mom, your brother, your uncle, they have to go there as well.
Yeah. If you're in jail, you have to come out of almost a doggy door.
Yeah.
And you're not to look people in the eye. You got to come out as an animal.
Yeah.
It's very horrific how they treat a human being.
And they were literally having to eat seeds coming from the dung of an animal to dig that out to be able to eat. This is what's happening right now. And Jesus said this. He said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was being persecuted, you did nothing. And so they said, Jesus, when did we see? He says, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. And then others, he says, listen, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, when I was being persecuted in prison, you came and visited me. It matters how you respond in the eyes of God to those who are being persecuted. And if you're the one being persecuted, it matters to you. If somebody's praying for you, somebody's, you know, responding to you. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but I remember specifically when there was a particular Christian, she was pregnant, she was in jail, she was chained, and holding her there for the life sentence because she was actually Ibrahim, I think her name
Miriam
is.
Miriam Ibrahim.
That because she was a believer, she wouldn't renounce her faith in Jesus Christ. And so we began to pray and fast in a time for the persecuted church, and we watched God during that period of time, a miraculous release. We did a program on it. But it was like, as we prayed and fasted, she was about to be released, and they weren't, and we continued to pray and fast. And by the time we finished that prayer and fasting, she was out, she was free, yeah. And she was in America. It matters what you're doing and what we do. We have a prayer community that we pray every Monday for 24 hours. You know, we learned that from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. And you just pray. Begin to pray. Join us in praying for the persecuted church. Go to opendoors.org and support financially. Do something so Jesus can say, when I was hurting, when I was persecuted, you did something for me. Let's pray for them right there. Father God, we just pray for the persecuted church. God, send your angels out, God, in this persecution. God, shift the global atmosphere, Father God, that would honor your name and honor Jesus and that honor your followers, God. And Lord, break this lukewarm state off of us that's in our hearts, that we'd be on fire for you, Father God, and that this would not continue to happen, but we would begin to evangelize and tell people about the goodness of God, God. And Lord, we ask you, dear God, in this persecution, in abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.